You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Mo Brady. Understudies are required to replicate another actor's performance, knowing exactly where they move and how they move there. They must have the bravado to lead a show, but also the humbleness to know they are merely standing in for another artist. They're asked to jump onto the moving train that is a Broadway musical and make sure it doesn't come to a screeching halt, or that a wheelchair carrying Nessa Rose falls into the orchestra pit. What can make this challenge all the more daunting is when you're joining a long-running show as an understudy, as was the case with today's guest, Jeff Heimbrock. For more than 2 years, he's performed in the show's ensemble while covering the role of Bach. I was curious about the challenges of bringing yourself to a character that has almost 16 years of history baked into its movements, vocals, and inflections, especially one that he only goes on for sporadically. Here's our conversation.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi.
Hi.
Will you introduce yourself and tell us what neighborhood of New York City you live in?
Oh, wow. I am Jeff Heimbrock. I live in Washington Heights right now.
And what's your job?
I am in the ensemble of Wicked on Broadway, and I understudy Bach, and I get to do that a couple times a year.
A couple times a year?
Yeah, more or less. It depends.
Okay. All right. We'll come to that later.
Yeah.
When you started with Wicked, how long ago was that?
That was almost 2.5 years ago.
And how much of your audition process was for the Bach understudy versus your ensemble track that you normally do?
It was pretty much all Bach.
Okay.
And then they had us do one little ensemble vocal thing to make sure that you could sing, because it's also a tenor one, which is very challenging.
Stephen Aremus,
Stephen
man.
Stephen Aremus, yes. My second time.
Okay, so how many auditions was it?
I read once, and then I danced, and that was it.
Well, good for you, Jeff.
But they film you and, you know, so they can review the tapes. And I had been in for it before, a couple months before.
When you joined the company so quickly, how soon into the process were you learning your understudy responsibilities?
It was pretty fast because my ensemble track is very minimal stage time. I have a lot of offstage singing and sort of bit parts and things like that, but it's not a lot of onstage movement, I guess. So I learned the show in about 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
And then once I went in to that track, we started doing Bach, which took maybe like a week.
And this is, how long are we into Wicked's run?
16 years.
16 years.
October, yeah.
And so your track is like, they really do singer and dancer tracks over mm-hmm. there, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a track that always covers Bach.
Yes.
Since the very beginning. Okay. Yes. So you started learning Bach like very, very quickly. Mm. And who's teaching you?
It's mainly the dance captains.
Okay.
Are teaching you everything. All right. And the stage manager will be there sometimes too.
So even with parts that aren't dance, the dance captains are still teaching it to you.
Yeah.
Is there anyone from the music department there in the room?
You'll do music rehearsals separately with just you and probably the associate and just kind of sing through. The good thing about Bach is that most of it is on the album, so I already kind of, you know, have been practicing since I was very young.
You had heard it before.
Yeah.
Wicked is an anomaly in the sort of theater real estate space because they have a rehearsal studio, right?
Yes.
You guys have a rehearsal studio in the building. Yes. Tell us, where is that?
It's on the, I want to say fifth floor. I could be making that up. Maybe fourth floor.
Okay.
It is right above the Dillman Wizard Bach Nessa dressing rooms.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful studio. It's perfect for rehearsals. And it's also really nice to have that space to like warm up. And we'll do some sort of like, we have individual projects like choreography or film a scene or rehearse something. You can go up there and they'll let you use the space as long as you let somebody know. It's a really great resource for
and
us.
And is that where you, the dance captains and stage manager were teaching you Bach or? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when was the first time you hit the stage?
Went on stage and kind of ran through it. And then I did an understudy rehearsal. So you run through the entire show with just a piano, no set, no costumes or anything, or lighting or anything. But you get to map out the blocking of the stage on the actual stage, which is so helpful. And all the wheelchair, I got the wheelchairography. So I could do that with Nessa because that is scary.
Oh, that's a technical part. I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Then. Okay.
It's very scary because if there's a part where he pushes her all the in when they're dancing together in the party scene, he pushes her all the way downstage. And if you go a little too far, she is going right into the orchestra pit. So you have to. So that's always a little scary when I do it again.
Were you rehearsing with other actors then or just
yeah.
you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And understudies or standbys?
Usually the standbys or understudies. They kind of switch every other rehearsal. They'll call different people.
Okay.
Depending on who's maybe on that week, and they try not to put too much workload on one person.
And how far into that process did you get a put in?
It was pretty soon. I mean, I started learning it, and then I think she wanted me to go in as soon as I could. So I had...
Who is she?
The stage manager,
okay.
Mary Beth. I had a really nice timing of it all because there were personal days that the Bach at the time had put in for. So it all kind of lined up perfectly that I could know when I was going on. It was my first time wasn't going to be some surprise last minute. And that was really, really nice. And weirdly, I had already bought tickets for my mom and my niece to see the show because it was during Thanksgiving break for them. And so they'd already had house seats just to see me and the show as I, you know, do every night. And then it just turned out that that was going to be my first time on as Bach. That was so exciting. And I didn't tell them.
Until they got to the theater?
They sat down in the theater and opened their playbills. And my niece was like, oh, Mimi, Mimi, look.
That is really cool.
And our book writer was there. When my husband was there that night. I didn't know that until afterward, thank God. But that, she was like, great show. I was like, well, that was the first time I ever did it. And I blacked out. But thank you.
Did you feel like you blacked out in the first
one? Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of like an old adage that people don't remember their first time doing it. Because it's so... such a weird situation because you're kind of so focused on where you are and it's just the show is just happening and it's flying by and then it's over and you've somehow survived. But I think a lot of people don't remember.
Is there anything like the wheelchair about the Bach track that's like deceptively difficult?
There's some costume pieces that I have to wear that are a little just kind of unusual that you have to get used to.
How do you get used to them if you only do them every so often?
You don't.
Okay.
And yeah, you don't. Every time I go on again, it feels like the first time, which is why a vacation situation or if someone's out for a weekend, it's so nice to have three or four in a row because then you really feel by the end of that, you kind of, okay, I can actually act now instead of, am I in the right spot? Did I remember this prop? Is Nessa in the orchestra pit? And to kind of like ground yourself and say, okay, I can actually... my mind can relax enough that I can enjoy this process and kind of actually respond to people.
So how soon after you joined the show was this Thanksgiving surprise Winnie Holtzman performance?
End of September is when I started and then mid-November.
How many times do you think you've gone on? Do you know?
I don't know. I want to say 20-something probably.
Something. Okay, so it's not that often.
No. And the Bach role... is not as demanding as some of the other parts in the show. And so that actor is usually never missing unless it's planned.
How
very rare.
Does your day change if you know you're going on as Bach versus you're going on in your regular track? Mm. Do you warm up differently?
I would probably spend a little bit more time warming up than I usually would, even though Bach is a lower singing track than my ensemble track. I'm just so used to singing my regular thing that it's kind of second nature now, which took a long time to get it to that place, but I'm happy with that it's there now. And Bach is so exposed too. I have a few singing solos in my ensemble, but not full songs of, you know, passages of songs. That's just him.
what's the most amount of notice you might get to go on?
Probably, like, if there's a vacation, I probably won't know exactly what shows I'll be doing, but you'll know a couple months in advance, usually, that week you will probably be doing it.
And what's the least?
The least sounds amount of time like... I've had is probably, like, 2 hours for Bach. When I was in Newsies and understudied Davey, I went on mid-show, and I had to go on halfway through the first act.
Talk about that.
That was really scary, too. I have this habit of, like, going on when all these people who made the show are there, like Harvey Fierstein was there, Jack Feldman, our director, was there that night in Boston, and our Davey, who had literally never missed. He had missed 2 shows, which was a personal day, and I did that, and that was, like, a couple months before this, and then I hadn't done it since. I'd only ever done it twice. We're almost a year into the run. And he got, like, violently sick halfway through Act 1.
Okay, so the show did stop. Pause.
I wouldn't say stopped. It kind of just, like, at the top of that next scene, they just kind of made an over-the-audience announcement, which I never
heard
since. But
so they didn't stop the show at all? Like, you just had to get ready? I guess it's sort of like a pedestrian look to another pedestrian look.
Yeah, and I had enough time. Like, I just didn't do one of my little scenes where I was back... in the back for Metis Theater or something like
okay.
that. I had finished my little cross.
I was thinking that might be the only time that like you would be actually have enough time.
And you're going on. So I'm running and all these the dressers are running and getting your clothes. And then I went out for the World Will Know scene and as Davey. And then the rest of the show happened.
But you had already been in the show as yourself, right?
Yes. Okay. I started the show as Elmer and did all of the opening number as my track. And then halfway through had to switch.
What did you need in order to go on in that? Did you need like note cards or did you have to look at your iPad or were you just like...
I kept note cards for that just because I was so used to doing that as a swing. So I did have some note card things that I looked at briefly, some timing things going over my head of like, okay, when he takes that bag and I'm trying to remember all this stuff for props and things. It wasn't even, logistical in terms of lines or singing or anything like that. But the adrenaline in that moment, you just go. You don't have time to second guess or really get in your head like you would if I knew I was going on that morning.
Right.
So it was just like, okay, this is happening. And and you're not off the hook per se, but everyone is there to kind of support you because you're doing something you don't ever normally do and you're kind of saving the day in a way and it's a lot of pressure. So if you make little mistakes, I think people are very forgiving in that moment situation.
I want to ask about making Bach your own because, you're, 16 years into a show. So there's a lot of history about what works and what doesn't with a role. And then you're also the understudy. Do you get to make it your own? Is it really about replicating? Like, how do you sort of balance your own artistry with the fact that this is a well-trod path?
Yeah, less than copying the person I understudy, but there is definitely a lot of guiding hands that are trying to preserve the original vision of the show as it was conceived in 2003 or whenever it came out. That being said, there is some leeway with certain things, and there are some certain things that they definitely want a certain way. Like some of them just like comedy or there's a joke in Act 1 where Nessa asks him, she goes, "What's in the punch?" And Bach goes, "Lemons and melons and pears." And it's a take on Wizard of Oz, of course. Yeah. And I was like trying to say it, in a way that wasn't as like obvious to that joke. And they're like, just, we like the rhythm of that. So it's like things like that where you're like, okay. And of course, like that's how the joke lands. So they were right and I was wrong. I find that with long running shows, the sort of more dangerous impulse is to actively try to make it your own. Because I think that's when people start to do things that aren't necessarily organic or true to them. They just want to make a stamp. I don't necessarily think Bach is a role like that, but I'm thinking like a role like Hamlet or certainly Elphaba. There's things you want to do to make it your own. So that's kind of a signature thing that you do.
How else would the children on YouTube
exactly.
be able to
specify?
Exactly,
and it caters to that instead of catering to the piece as a whole, I think. Like, Bach is not a role necessarily that people are like, you have to go see. Bach is Bach. I don't want to make it sound like structure is a bad thing because I think it's all in service of maintaining the show. This was especially important in something like Book of Mormon, where the comedy is very specific. Tone and the style of it is very specific. And so if you come in with your own way of doing it that doesn't vibe with the rest of the show, then the rest of the show is going to fall apart because you're not, you know, so those kind of parameters are actually, as much as they can feel like personal hindrances, they are actually important for the thing as a whole. But like I said, it's a hard thing to maintain. So whenever I see a long running show that is really, really working on all cylinders, I kind of, you know, it's really impressive. When I joined Wicked, I was kind of blown away by what I saw, because the ensemble is working their tails off, and all the principals were so alive and really exciting. And it's fun to go back. And Wicked's a great show to do that with, because you do get Wicked every time you go. But you're going to get Jackie Burns and Amanda Jane Cooper, or you're going to get Katie Rose Clark, and you're going to, like, there are certain performances that can really, you know, change the experience from night to night, which is fun.
Fun is somebody in the company, too,
yeah,
to be able to sort of
both
experience.
As a longtime fan of the show and as someone who's now been a part of it for so long, that fresh energy is so valuable.
Special thanks to Jeff Heimbrock for sharing his stories with us this week. The Ensemblist was produced today by me, Mo Brady. The Ensemblist is proud to be a part of Broadway Podcast Network. If you can't get enough of theater conversations directed into your earbuds from us, there are more than 40 other great theater podcasts to listen to. Check us all out at bpn.fm. Also, we've joined the world of Patreon, where you can support the work we do here at The Ensemblist for as little as $5 a month. Learn how at patreon.com/theensemblist. And if you don't have the cash to donate $5 a month, you can still help us out by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. One more thing, make sure you're following us on Instagram to see the latest posts from our website, where we share the stories of talented artists working in theater ensembles. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.